I suppose we should wait for Richie before we trigger on the thing. Very good. Okay. Today's daf is Bechot Zayin. It's the third day of Purim, Meshulashim and Shushan, I mean Yerushalayim. And we got up to the bottom of Amud Beis. No, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
Did we?
Yeah,
oh, great. Okay. So it says the Gemara. The Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Zman HaShacharit is until Arba Sha'ot. Now, there's two ways of reading it. Arba Sha'ot to the end of the fourth hour, or Arba Sha'ot until the beginning of the fourth hour. We use these times in different ways. When we want to make clear, sometimes we'll say, sometimes that's the reason we say 13 in a day. Make sure that you shouldn't think 13th year is the year of Chiyuv Mitzvah. So what do we mean? Yiboy, ad, the ad bechlau, or dilma ad, velo ad bechlau. Toshma, the chorah, we can bring a raya, a very simple raya. When it comes to mincha, Rabbi Yehuda says, ad plag ha-mincha. Now, if ad means ad bechlal, he's basically saying until the end of the day, because plag ha-mincha is the last hour and a quarter of the day, in which case he's saying exactly the same thing that the Rabbanan said. He is saying until Shkia, basically. So, I mean, there's no possible way to understand that Rabbi Yehuda is learning the word ad to mean inclusive. So, yeah, but bishlima ad v'lo ad bechlal. If you're going to tell me it means exclusive, then hainu di'ika bein Rabbi Yehuda Rabbonin, that's what they're arguing in. Can you daven mincha until the end of the day? You daven mincha until only the plaga mincha. By the way, the Bir Halacha brings a raya from this Gemara that there's no question that when it comes, you remember we discussed the issue of how we figure the day. Is it 12 hours of the day go until Tzeit HaKochavim, or do they go from Neitz to Shkia? And the Shiloh over here is, if the Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, we'd be figuring Plag HaMincha, meaning from Arvit, from Tzeit HaKochavim, then it wouldn't be the same at all. Because certainly the Rabbanan were saying only Gatzilas HaMincha, only in terms of Shkia, because it still has to be Ben Arvayim. Not during the period which is a Suffolk Lila. So Mimela, he brings a right. You see from here, since the Gemara says that it would be saying the same thing as the Rabbanan by definition, that everybody is Mode, that when it comes to figuring Plag HaMincha, you're certainly going to figure Plag HaMincha from Shkia time. So that 10:45 means an hour and a quarter before Shkia, not before Tzedek Ochavim. Anyway, so Iyam Radad Biad Bechlav, but if you're going to tell me that it means ad v'ad v'chal, then Rabbi Yehuda Hainu Rabbanan comes out saying the same thing. So what do you think? Oh, come on, man, this isn't going to work out either way. So what do you say? Ad v'lo ad v'chal. So he means until the fourth hour, meaning until the beginning of the fourth hour. Huh? Okay, let me ask you something. It says in the end of the Mishnah, okay, Shemusafim kol hayom, Rabbi Yehuda omer ad sheva sha'ot. Now, according to you, this means until the beginning of the seventh hour. So he's saying that you can daven musaf now until 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock meaning 6 o'clock noon, starting the day at zero. So until 6 o'clock you can daven musaf. Now, if that's the meaning, then there's no way to understand the following bright. V'tanya, hayu lefanav shtei tefilot, achat shel musaf, achat shel mincha. The person now has delayed davening musaf until it's already time to daven mincha. Which one should he daven first? Even though he was chayev and musaf earlier, he should daven mincha first, and then musaf. Shezot tadira, v'zoi not tadira. Since mincha is a daily chiyuv, musaf is only a rare chiyuv, so we have our general klal, tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, afal piken daven musaf, and then mincha, why? Because you're going to run out of time. Shezo overed, v'zo eina overed. You're about to run out of time for musaf, and you're just starting your time for mincha. The problem is that the possibility doesn't exist according to Rav Yehuda. Because if you're only davening Musaf until 6, and Mincha starts at 6:30, then how in the world could you ever have two tefillot menachot lefanav? It's simply impossible. So it's got to be that Rav Yehuda is saying inclusive. He's saying inclusive, meaning the seventh hour, that means till 7 o'clock. Mincha started at 6:30. So during this half an hour, it's possible for you to be chayav Musaf and Mincha. And he's saying, look, it's you're almost at the end of Musaf. You better daven Musaf fast. And then you'll have time to daven Mincha. Then it would make perfectly good sense. But you see that inside. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mitzpalo Shel Musaf Achakach Shel Mincha Shezol Ver Vezeo Numa. So now, here's our raya. I amit b'shlema ad v'ad v'chlal. If you're going to admit that the ad is inclusive, Zahiru demeshkachet lehu shtei tefilot b'hadei hadadi. That would explain how you have a case in which you have Musaf and Mincha chal at the same time at 6:30. Ela I amit ad v'lo ad v'chlal. Once again, 6:30 means noon plus a half an hour of a short money in the language of the Gemara. But if you're going to tell me ad v'lo ad v'chlal, then that means that it's exclusive, which is that the seventh hour is the end, really, of the sixth hour. So in other words, it's only 6 o'clock. That means that it's now noon. So if it's noon, you've run out of time already for Musaf. You can't daven Mincha at noon. You need another half an hour. So how is it possible to have a case in which you chayav both Mincha and Musaf? Kima da'ati lashon Mincha, azav lashon Musafim. If it's time for Mincha, then it's no longer time for Musaf. Okay, so then what do you hold? You're telling me it means ad ad b'chlal. So now how does the ratio make sense? If ad ad b'chlal means ad plaga mincha inclusive, so then you're basically telling me till shkia. So then ma'ika ben Rav Yehuda Rabbanan. The Rabbanan also said till shkia. No, come on, man. He never said which plag now, did he? He said plaga mincha. Now plaga mincha means half mincha time. Maybe it was the first half. In other words, you have until the end of the first half inclusive, which is the same thing till 10:45 is the first half. So mi savet hai plaga mincha plaga achronaka amar plag rishonaka amar. All he's saying is vachik amar emad nafik plag rishona v'ayah plaga achrona. What is that point where the first half of the zman mincha that starts at 9:30, which is the akrovas hatamid time, that time is basically Michinafik, Yudalav Shot, Chasiravia. That's a 10:45, which is half of the, that's the remaining half. But since it's Ad now, and Ad Bichlal, so that's what Ad Vad Bichlal means, till 10:45, starting at 9:30. Omer of Nachman, Afana Namitanina. It's clear also from the Mishnah Idiot that's what Rav Yehuda holds. Because it says Rav Yehuda ben Bava he'it chamisha dvarim. There were five things that were part of the edut of Rav Yehuda ben Bava on that day that they wrote Masechet Idiot. We're going to have a whole explanation of what happened on that day that's called that day all over Shas. And that was the day that they wrote Masechet Idiot. Everybody came, provided their idiot. And so here were the five things from Rav Yehuda ben Bava. First of all, Shema Ma'anina Taktana. Shema Ma'anina, now everybody of course is motivated that there's a concept of Miun, but Ma'anin means we instigate Miun. What is Miun? Remember that a child who is a Yitoma and doesn't have a father to accept Kedushin is oftentimes placed into rather difficult circumstances because people take advantage of children. And therefore, Chazal were koveha that a child can actually be married midrabanan, so that the mother or the older brother would be makabo kedushin for her, and that way she's protected by a husband. If she doesn't like the guy, everybody's made. She could say, I don't like the guy, and then just walk out, and the kedushin is annulled. There's no get or anything like that. Now, what happens in a case where you've got two brothers who are married to two sisters? One of the sisters was a gedola, was married normally. Then the father died. The younger sister was left without a father. And so the mother accepted kedushin from the brother of the one who had married the older sister. Now what happens is he dies. So the older sister's husband dies. Now there's a real problem. The younger sister, let's assume she's married to the younger brother. The younger brother is supposed to be now miyabim the wife of the older brother. The problem is, Midrabbanan, he's married to her sister. He isn't really married to her sister. What's worse is that Midioraita, he's no longer allowed to be sleeping with this girl because she's now become the Achot Zikukato. Since Midioraita, there exists a Zika even prior to the Kiddushin, to the Yibum, there exists a certain relationship that's defined by the Torah that occurs because of the death of the older brother, which now puts her in front of him. He can no longer be keeping his current wife anyway, because he's not allowed to sleep with her anymore, in which case she doesn't do him much good as a wife. So now, what are we going to do? The best thing to do is to persuade the youngster that what's the point of her maintaining this fiction? Let her just say she doesn't like him and walk out. That way the Kedushin is annulled. He doesn't have any problem with being married to his sister, so he can now be me, and he never was, because annulment means back Lamafreya, retroactively there was no wedding. And so you'll say, I mean, but that's a strange way to deal with things, to retroactively turn a relationship with a youngster into just abuse. I mean, where was the, there's no longer any sanction to it retroactively. Ah, but again, he was made. That's the way to do it. It's superior to any other solution. So that was his first thing. The second is, Shemesi'in et ha'isha al-pied echad, which was a tremendous, tremendous kiddush. Normally we know that we need al-pi shnei edim. We need to, certainly, Dvar Erva, which is called Davar, and it says Yakum Davar, we should have no right to have a single witness testify that a woman's husband died. Well, a woman's husband disappears. Now, it's very possible he disappeared to start himself a new life in Tahiti. But he disappears on a business trip, never shows up again, and one aide comes and says, well, he was drowned, or he got mugged and shot, whatever. We will believe that single aide, and she's allowed to go get married to somebody else. This was a whole sugya that we had in Yevamot, why it is, the Rabbanim were Mekel, because she does her own research in order not to get caught in an untenable situation when the husband walks back in. And so, Memela, this Chiddush, he too was made on that day. He was further made, Al Tarnegoshin Iskal B'Yerushalayim Al Shaharagat HaNefesh, that the din of Shor, that is mentioned in Shor HaNiskal, that when a Shor kills a human, it does not mean a Shor, it means any animal, including even a bird. So there was once a Maisa of a chicken that went, a rooster, that went ahead and pecked a child's forehead, an infant, and killed the child by puncturing the skull, and it wasn't skull, by puncturing the brain membrane. And they were Makayim Skila, even though it was a Tarnagel. And Al Yayin Ben Arbaim Yom Shenit Nasecha Gabeha Mizbeah, even though you're only allowed to bring Nesach Sheikhar, so it has to be Sheikhar, it has to be Mishaker, which is why we have this here today. But we're waiting for Richie to show up. We weren't going to start with him. And once he's here already, it's probably prudent to wait until later so that the effects don't happen too fast. And so you would think that it has to be well fermented wine to be Sheikhar. So he was made 40 days. That if you have wine that is only 40 days old, it's also Nisnasech Agave Mizbeah, and that's called Sheikhar. And that the Tamid Shel Shachar can be brought up to and not beyond 4 hours. It's interesting that there's the Mefarshim bring that there's the basis of this, and the Rambam understands this in the Pirshei Mishnayos to be from the implications of the story. There's the famous Maisa of the day of the Chanukah HaMikdash, in which Bat Paro put on quite a belly dance the night before. He kept Shlomo up all night long. He fell asleep in the close to the morning, and she pulls the curtains, makes sure that he has no idea what time it is. It's now time to be to bring the carbon tummy on the new first day of the Beit HaMikdash. He's got the scissors to cut the ribbon, you know, and the keys. And the people are not—they're not interested in knocking on the door exactly of Shlomo's chambers. And since they brought the tumid on that day only at Arba Sha'ot, Mashma that they finally got desperate enough to wake him up to get the keys because it wasn't shak to bring it later. This was the last possible time. Otherwise, this episode would have been Arba Shaot. You could have slept till Chatzos too. So therefore, must be that that was the maximum time. Okay, so meanwhile, we see that the meaning is Shmamina Ad V'chlal, because over here it's at Arba Shaot. Shmamina. This is the halacha because of the fact that we were koveya this in the Mishnah of idiot. Of course, idiot has a double meaning. It means edut in the plural, and it means the very best, right? Like idit. So we always call it in Aramaic b'chirta, the best. So since, and that was the time that they were mevarer all the Shmuel, because until that time Rabbi Gamliel had kept things rather tight, on a very tight ship there, and the people were not exactly in a mood, as we'll see, to argue with him or to say any things that they felt would disagree with the opinion that had been accepted. But on that day they opened the floodgates to new information, as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah day. And since we were koveya that in Masechet Idiot, that must be the halacha, which is strange because after all he's a yochid. The rabbim argue with him and they say at chatzos. Nonetheless, zman tefila is until the end of the fourth hour of the day. V'al tamid shel shachar shekarev b'arba shaot. Now, man tana l'hadetzan, there's a problem over here in understanding the pasuk as it's explained here in the Mishnah. That's not. V'cham Hashemesh v'namaz. So what was the time that the man had actually melted? And we know that it says that they were malakat v'yu ketuotu baboker baboker. So the likut of the man was done in the early morning. Ishkefiyoklo. And then v'cham Hashemesh v'namaz. When the sun warmed it, it melted. When is that? It's Barba Shaot. I told him at Barba Shaot. You say it's at 4 o'clock? Maybe it's at 6 o'clock. So at noon, maybe that's the end of the morning. Remember that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avram Avinu, it says over there, he was sitting at his doorway as the day was hot. So kichom hayom is not the same thing as v'cham hashemesh. Now is it? Because chom hayom means that generally the temperature, not in the shemesh, all around is hot. But chom hashemesh means that when you're exposed to the sun, it's hot, but it's still cool in the shade. So therefore kichom hayom is already mentioning the way we refer to noon. That's the way we define noon. That's bar bashot. So there you go. Man, lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan. Now this doesn't work out according to anybody, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, ad ar bashot nami tzafra. Actually, according to Rabbi Yehuda, until the end of the fourth hour, we just proved that it's boker. So how could it be that vayulketuotu baboker baboker, they would collect it, but it was already melting? That doesn't make any sense. The melting time has got to be after that time. And irabanan at chatzot na mitzav. According to Rabbanan, you have until chatzot, which is boker. In which case, for them for sure, what do you mean? They collected it in the morning, except it was already gone. I mean, well, doesn't make sense.
Why is there a problem? They collected until 4 hours.
And the assumption is that in the Becham HaShemesh is not at the end of 4 hours, but already in the beginning of the fourth hour, it's already Becham HaShemesh. Lamaisa, there's another, the Yerushalmi learns it differently, but this is the way the Mefarshim here seem to learn it.
But the Arba Shaot always means the end of the four.
No. Ad means. So Be' means in the fourth hour. You would be learning it here.
When we said, always means at the end of 4 o'clock.
You're right. It's a troublesome double use of the lashon over here. If you learn this way, there's a whole alternative approach. But lechora, that's what our sugya is assuming. That because we're talking about the reality of when the Kama Shemesh is and not a particular time, Barba Shavuot is not a moment, which is why the bringing of the Tamid is a particular moment. By the way, speaking of particular moments, remember we spoke about the Rambam who says that there's not a specific time in which we're talking about Nates. I just saw yesterday a Chazon Ish who says that people who daven with their watches of Nates Hachama are completely off the wall. Because first of all, it's not supposed to be a watch time, it's supposed to be a response time. But what's even worse than that is if it's a watch time, then it becomes she'oset tefilato kva. It's like you're making your tefillah something that's kavua by something else, rather than by your sense of when it's sunrise, when you're responding to sunrise. It's very interesting.
How do you put the Vasikin point of that?
Yudam Vasikin, as the Rambam says, that this man is on the duyuk, it's totally in the heart of the mitpalil, when he feels that it's sunrise.
What do you mean when he feels it? When it, I don't understand it.
Look, if you're in a dark house, you're going to define Kriyat Shema by when a baby is crying? Is that exact? That's the same as looking on the chart? I mean, the Gemara said that's good enough for defining when, to tell you when to read Kriyat Shema.
But Shmon Esrei, you bet better, you want 10 people to start minyan.
You mean, how do we get 10 people to agree?
Right.
Yeah, that's impossible. And if they have watches, they do agree. Do you ever watch what goes on over there? Forget it. Yeah, I mean, unless we have atomic clocks that are all now.
The Rambam,
you're kidding.
The one guy uses his telephone to see when the time is, you know.
Oh, to see? I thought that everybody gets like a ring on the phone.
No.
Correct.
So the telephone,
ordering an SMS message.
That's
30 seconds.
That was what bothered me. What he said was what bothered me. How do you find it with a minion? Everybody's in their hearts, you know.
But anyway, the guy's old Vasikin is better to daven Vasikin without a so it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, it's like a problem. I don't know the answer to that. So in any event, getting back to this, I wanted to mention it was such a finish to me. So according to the Rabbanan, Ad Chatzos Namit Zafrahu. Actually, you could say either way. You could say, look, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could say it's Rabbi Yehuda, you could say it's Rabbanan. Yeah. I'll tell you how it goes, like this. I mean, Ibai Seymer Rabbanan. It doesn't say over here, Vayelaktuoto Baboker. It says Vayelkituoto Baboker Baboker. So Baboker Baboker means split the time into two. You can have the first part of the Boker and the second part of the Boker. Which means that the 6 hours until noon gives you 3 hours of the early Boker for collection, and now at the fourth hour it's already melting. That works out fine. And you can say Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing, that boker means the extra boker is to tell you to do it early. So according to him it would mean like dim lo sha'achat. So now do it a little bit earlier. Which means that you gotta finish now, let's say by the beginning of the fourth hour, instead of by the end of the fourth hour, and that's the time that it's melting. Now let me ask you something. Everybody seems to agree that the diyuk is a good diyuk. That v'cham ha-shemesh v'namas is ba'arba sha'ot. Why is that so clear? It seems a vague way of referring to, it's just, I understand it's not chatzot, but I mean, who says it's sha'ar revi'it? My mashma. Omer v'acha bar Yaakov, look, the idea over here is the v'cham ha-shemesh v'namas. So izu isha'a sha'shemesh cham v'atzel tzonein. It's stressing in the sun it is hot. But in the shade, it's still cool. Now that's only about arba sha'ot. Before that, the sun isn't that hot when you stand in it either. Because it's still an early sun and it's obscured by the whole atmosphere all the way at the horizon. It's a little misty. So you don't yet feel hot early in the morning, even if you're in the sun. On the other hand, if it's later than arba sha'ot, it's already hot. You don't feel chilly in the tzel. So it's got to be referring specifically to that time, where you have the shemesh that's calm and the tzel that's cold. That's the diyuk. Actually, it's not quite clear that that's the diyuk. In the Haggos of Rav Shapira, he points out that there's a pasuk in Shmuel that seems to imply that chom ha-shemesh and chom hayom, at chom ha-shemesh and chom hayom are the same thing. Because in the Mice of Yavesh Gilad, this is such a cute diyuk, I can't resist it. The Mice of Yavesh Gilad, So remember that the people of Yavesh Gilad are given a few days to see if they can get any Jews together to save them, you know, otherwise they got to come out and have their right eye blinded, you know, or else they're going to be wiped out. Okay, so Shaul sends back a message that don't worry about a thing. Tomorrow, Kechom HaShemesh, you're going to have a Yeshua. Lemaisa, Shaul gets everybody together, and it says that he attacks from three sides, and that they get rid of the enemy by the time it's Kechom HaYom. So he dies. I mean, like Lechora, it's referring to the same period. Lemaisa, I don't think it's much of a tiyuk, but it's so cute. But his explanation is even better. So he says, what's the pshat? Over there it says, Kichom HaShemesh. Over here it's Kicham HaShemesh. Kicham HaShemesh is a verb. It's not referring to a time of the day of Kichom HaShemesh. Like Rashi said, where is it hot in the shades? They're saying Kicham HaShemesh because we're talking about melting the man. So it has to be hot enough to melt. Not that it should be hot in the sun. That's a different thing. In other words, when will the Shemesh affect something which is on the ground and cause it to be namas? That's Tafka now. It's very sweet. Huh? Otherwise, Kichom HaShemesh would be, it's a different concept that we use interchangeably. Kichom HaYom, because we refer to the Yom with the Shemesh. We often refer to the same, to the Bo HaShemesh. Panuyom, Panayom, as we say. Tfilat HaMincha Ad Erev, Ormelei Rav Chisda Rav Yitzchak. Ha Tamam Rav Kana Halachak Rav Yehuda. Ho! These batteries are lasting. Yehuda, we miss you. He tunes in, so. Alright, so continues now the Gemara again. Tfilat HaMincha Ad Ha'erev. Says Rav Chisda Rav Yitzchak, you know, Rav Kahana Paskin Halach Rav Yehuda, when it came to the time of Shacharis, even though it was a Yachid, and the Chachamim were against him. Now, there was because, Hovitznan Dubchirta Kavate. Hachamai, how about when it comes to time of Mincha? What's the Halacha? Would we also Paskin like Rav Yehuda? Now, on the surface, this seems to be a little bit silly, because it does not say in Idiot anything about Rabbi Yehuda. On the surface, there doesn't seem to be any connection between one and the other. Why in the world would we think that just because we pass like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the time of Shacharit, we should pass him like him when it comes to the time of Mincha? However, if you consider the meaning of the Machloket, it is possible, indeed, that there's a very important connection between them, because the Shaila is the word of that's used in the Torah for the Baboker, Baboker, and the Achar HaTzoraim is the same word, in which is Asa. What is the Asiya of the Tamid? According to some, that's the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If the Asiya of the Tamid is the Zerika, then the Kviyut of Tefillah would be particularly for the time of the Zerika. If the Asita is in terms of Shkita, then you still have extra time in which you're going to be doing the rest of the Avodah. So if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Asa is referring to the Zrika as well, so then if we paskin like him in the morning, that's Arba Sha'ot, then that's the way we should paskin like him in the afternoon too. So maybe there's a connection between the two. Anyway, Lemaisa, Rav Yitzchak did not respond. Lo amale v'lo midi. So Rav Chisda said, well, if I'm not getting any response, I just better figure out things myself. Nizayanat. Let's figure it out ourselves. Since we know that Rav davened the Arvit of Leil Shabbat during Friday, how could he do that? He davened mi ba'od yom. He was davened. Now, it's not clear that it was Mekabel Shabbat, mind you. We'll talk about that later. But he definitely davened the Arvit of Leil Shabbat in the middle of the day on Friday. How could he do that? I mean, after all, if it's still the time of Mincha of Friday, how could he daven Arvit after the Plaga Mincha? Must be Shema Min HaLocha K'ra Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently the HaLocha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because as Rabbi Natan pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta, how is it that we daven Ma'ariv and Shul early? And he says, well, since we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, you can daven Ma'ariv early, and the Rabbi Natan ties the Zman of Kriyat Shema to the time of Arvit, which is why he argues with Rashi and says, you're not reading Kriyat Shema al Hamita to be Yotze to be a Kriyat Shema. You were Yotze that the same time that you Yotze to be Lat Arvit. That's basically this sugi that we're learning. So here, apparently, Rav did exactly that. He davened his Meyer early. So it must be that since the Zman of Mincha ends at Plaga Mincha, according to Rav Yehuda, it's now time for Arvit. So it's time for Arvit. He prayed Arvit at that time. Says the Gemara, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm out of Rav. You could say just the opposite. Since Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan would refuse to daven on a normal day until the evening, so from there you could conclude that Ein Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. Now, I mean, this is a little bit strange. Why would we conclude that Halacha is not like Rav Yehuda from Rav Huna, was a Talmud of Rav, instead of concluding that it was Rav Huna from Rav himself? And even if they're Chaylik, I mean, we paskin like Rav when it comes to Isurim. So why wouldn't we paskin like him here? And some learn that there is, and indeed this is very much Nogela Halacha, that Ma'ariv on Erev Shabbos is different than any other Ma'ariv. Because there's two different Halachas over here. One is the Zman of Tvila. If you learn that Tvilat Ha'arvit Ein Lo Keva, which is the language that, actually the Rambam paskins with that language and the language that we just learned, Ein Lo Keva. So what does it mean, Ein Lo Keva? So Ein Lo Keva, as Rashi says, means you have the whole night. The Rambam learns Ein Lo Keva means, since it's not a Chiyuv, it's a Rishut, they were not Koveya a particular time for it, because there's no such Tvila. It's whenever it's not the Zman of another Tvilah, that's when you can daven Arvit. Which means as soon as it's not time for Mincha, I can now daven Arvit. And the truth is that since Arvit is Keneged, the Evarim Ubdarim, I mean, that was going on from Plaga Mincha as well. So why can I not daven at that time? Now that has nothing to do with the technical definition of the day upon which I'm davening Arvit. It's just the Tvilat Arvit. Now there's another issue. The other issue is, there's such a thing as Kabbalat Shabbat early. Bepashtut, because of the concept of Tosefet Shabbat. Since there is a chiyuv, according to many, to add min HaKodesh, min HaChol al HaKodesh, min HaKodesh al HaChol. So on Erev Shabbat, you're supposed to be Mekabel Shabbat early. So therefore, if I went ahead and was Mekabel Shabbat early, for me it's already Shabbat, which triggers now my ability to pray the Tfilot of Shabbat. Therefore, I can now pray Tfilat Arvit. If I do that, then I might be able to say, now wait a minute, if Rav Huna was always makpid not to daven Arvit in the daytime. And the only time we know otherwise is that Rav was davening on Erev Shabbat of Shabbat, maybe the reason he was doing that was because he was Mekabel Shabbat. And that is what allowed him to pray Arvit, but otherwise he wouldn't have. So that Arvit would be a function, not of filling a gap where there's no other tefillah, but rather of the onset of the day, which is normally the Erev, unless you could be makabel additional time, which requires the chiyuv of Mosif, min hakol al hakodesh, min hakodesh al hakol. So perhaps that's the reason we're saying, let's conclude otherwise, and let's see this as a function, particularly of the din of Erev Shabbat. By the way, the fact that the Gemara makes this dependent in how to be noyeg in the halacha, like Rav Yehuda and the Rabbana, and the Gemara concludes now that hashta, says the Gemara, de lo hitman yilchata lo kamar velo kamar, being as we haven't been able to establish the halacha, you can do whatever you want. Diobet kamar avad, diobet kamar avad. Now you can see where the problem comes of being makabel Shabbat early. Because what happens is that people daven Mincha, say Kabbalat Shabbat, and then daven Ma'ariv. The problem is, you're now contradicting yourself. If you are being noheg like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the end of Mincha time was until the end of Plaga Mincha, that would explain very well why you're davening Ma'ariv. But then how could that same person daven Mincha 5 minutes before? It's only according to Chachomim can you daven Mincha 5 minutes before. So you've got to make up your mind. Either you're going to daven Mincha early, and then later in the day after Plaga Mincha, you can daven Mincha. Or if you daven Mincha after Plaga Mincha, you're going to have to wait until after Shkia to daven Mincha. But how can you have it both ways? That's called a Tarte de Sasri. Now here is the question, as to whether this new issue of Kabbalat Shabbat early changes that equation. So that maybe when it comes to Erev Shabbat particularly, there, since you're going to be Mekabel Shabbat early, so even though it may be like the Chachomim Mincha time, but the Kabbalat Shabbat makes it as if it's another day, and now you perhaps could pray even according to the Chachomim. Lamaisa, as you know, a Yochid is not supposed to do this. In other words, as the Mishnah Berurah says, when it comes to a Tzibur, and we have this possible out when it comes to Erev Shabbat, in order not to be Matriach at Tzibur, we allow them to daven Mincha, and then to daven Maariv rather than getting together twice. The Mashiach comes to a Yochid. The Yochid, no, for Erev Shabbat. There's also grounds for every day as well, if that's their minhag and that's, you know, that's their kviyut. But again, it's a little dicey. What we try to do is at least get the Maariv after Shkiyah. Here we're talking about where the Maariv is ba'od yom, because you're trying to get home before Shkiyah so that you can, don't have a problem z'man kriyat shabbat and so on with, right? So there it's really, really problematic. Most people, when they do it during the week, even as a tzibur, they'll daven mincha right before Shkiyah, and then they'll daven Maariv after Shkiyah so that you don't have this tarte de sasra business. So therefore you can choose either way. Now it's a machlokas, we've shown him whether choosing either way, and the problem of tarte de sasra, which by the way is the Rosh's assertion, you've got to watch out for tarte de sasra, is that bichlal in your life? In other words, you're being noyeg like Rabbi Yehuda, you can't one day do like Rabbi Yehuda and another day, you can't daven Maariv one day early and mincha late on the next day. Or is only if it's at the same time that it's tarte de sasra. That's actually a machloket. We're pretty makel about that and allow you to choose your day, so to speak. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba was once a maisa that where Rav was equal to the Geneva. Rav came to Geneva's house and he was davening Shabbos early, on Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba was a Talmud of Rav, was davening behind Rav, lachor de Rav. Rav completed his tefillah. And he did not want to walk backwards, because then he would have gotten into bothering, assuming that's the issue, which we'll discuss in a moment. But he didn't want to go within the area where Rabbi Yirmiyah was davening. Now from there we see three things. Shema min atlat. Shema min mitpalel adam shel Shabbat ve'erev Shabbat. First of all, we see there's no problem of saying Arvit of Shabbat before Shabbat. We also see that it's permissible to pray behind your Rav. You also see you're not allowed to walk in front of somebody who is praying, because otherwise why didn't Rav walk backwards to be misayim his tefillah?
Now, pray longer than the Rebbe?
Well, we'll talk about that too. So the question over here, by the way, is not 100% clear that it's referring to walking back. Because Rashi goes out of his way to say that lo paskalat sarusse means Rav didn't walk in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah to get to his seat, even though he'd finished davening. Most others learn the pshatas over here that Rav didn't conclude his tefillah to walk backwards. The mashma'ut is, according to Rashi, the walking backwards is not considered to be a interruption of walking in front of a guy, either because it's not walking in front, it's just clearly part of your tefillah, and another person's attuned to the fact that you're davening. It's only walking in front of a guy, moving across him, that would be a problem. Or that the din, after all, of walking backwards at the end of the tefillah is halachin kovet hashchina, and therefore it's not something that you put off because somebody's behind you. So the Rashi obviously is going out of his way not to say lo paskalat tefillah. There's actually a machlokas whether there's a problem of backing up in front of a person who's davening. There's also a whole different way of learning it, which is, what is the reason that we don't walk in front of a person? The pashtut is, you don't walk in front of a person because you're going to disturb his kavanah. So, If that's the case, then we can be machalic between cutting across his field of vision, so to speak. He's got stereo hearing, and he's, you know, just sensing movement and so on. So he's going to be troubled, versus just backing up in front of him where he won't be troubled. The thing is that the Zohar says, and there's some portion that bring this, it's a beautiful, beautiful shot. The Zohar says that the area in which a person is davening is basically the mokum where the Shechina is present. In which case, it's like walking into the Azara, Shalol Tzorah. It's incredible. You don't want to walk, what are you, stop going to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina is here. You can't just walk in like you're passing through. Not to pass through.
Yeah. We learned earlier in the Masechta that the Shechina is going to come before where the Minyan arrives. So.
But there's a special Amida Bifnei HaShechina of the Yochid.
Different
degrees. And Nafkamina will be, according to the Zohar, you can't even walk behind him. Because if it's Arba Amot, it would be Arba Amot around him, not only in front of him. And they're indeed those that bring La Halacha. What the based on the Zohar, shouldn't walk behind the mitzvah, because it isn't a function of bothering his kavanah. It's a question of how you act vis-a-vis the Shechina. It's a whole different question, which then would raise the other issue. Since your walking back is part of the being niftar mitzvah Shechina, so your Shechina, so to speak, is machayev the sanhagah. That's not a pagam in the kavanah Shechina of the other person. Or have to add, you know, you mean another time.
So really what you're saying is it would have to be
this is a very, very cutting edge T, because we're right at the edge of 20 degrees, which we said would be the cutoff of the T time. But now that we have our Royal Highness just walked in. Of course, and being as we have today the story of Shlomo HaMelech who slept until 4, so that for sure is Matzah. I understand your royal begotten.
Isn't there a Gemara which says Havli Mapik Havli? You can drink hot.
Not here. Yeah.
He didn't break into a shade, into a shadow. The tefillah makes it settle on the person.
It's good for porn. No, I mean, it really is. The tzel is connected to Moshe Rabbeinu's life. That's why Yamav Katzel is connected to Midav Netzach, Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker. It's good for him. Anyway, so we learn, therefore, that you can't walk in front of a mitpalel, which is a raya now to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Don't Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, asur la'avor keneged hamitpalelim. Now, is this really true? Didn't Rabami and Rabasi used to walk in front of people and go to their seats, and they were chalfi? Yeah, they did, but that was Rabami and Rabasi was chutz l'arba'amot, who did chalfi. They would only pass outside of Arba Amot. Reb Yirmiya, now wait a second, you said Reb Yirmiya davened in back of Rav. Wasn't Rav his Rebbe? And I thought we said Amar Reb Yirmiya Rav. This is Rav's own mimer. That lo olam al yitpalel adam, lo keneged Rabo, a person should not daven even with the Rav, because then he's as if he's saying he's on the same madrega. You know, we're just in the same row, so to speak. V'lo achorei rabo, nor should he daven in back of his rab. Rashi says because it looks like chutzpah, and it's not clear why. Some say because it looks like he's being medayik achorei rabo. I don't want to sit there and see if he daven's okay or whatever. Tosfos has a fantastic shot, which becomes unfortunately very nogei abizman hazeh. We're afraid he's going to bow to his rab. It looks like he's being mishtak aved to the Rebbe. So therefore, you shouldn't daven in a way where it could be interpreted in such a fashion. But when you're saying Baruch Atah Hashem and you're bowing to this person, it's not a very good idea, right? I mean, even that one of the reasons we don't have people in front of the Sefer Torah when somebody is saying Baruch Hu is because of that. Netanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. It's not an accident. That's right, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer says somebody who does pray in that fashion, or hanotein shalom l'rabo, or if he says shalom aleichem to his Rebbe, and doesn't say shalom aleichem Rabbi or shalom aleichem Rabbi Umori, some actually learn that it's a chutzpah to say shalom aleichem b'chalal. In other words, the Talmud waits until he's addressed rather than initiating a greeting. But Elmaizer replies to shalom aleichem Rabbi, it should say. V'hamachzir shalom l'rabo, if he answers without adding, and this would be the raya, because, I mean, if it's not the question of addressing, then obviously, I mean, what's an afkaminovir notenu machzir? Machzir shalom l'rabo without saying shalom aleichem Rabbi. V'acholeka yeshivato sh'rabo. Someone, the Rambam learns acholeka yeshivato sh'rabo means he opens up a competing yeshiva without the reshus of his rab. That is by definition the cholik ayeshivato. We know the famous story of the Rambam's. The letter is extant in the letters of the Rambam, the Tshuvot Rambam, in which his Talmud Rabbi Yosef Waknin asked him permission to open a yeshiva in Baghdad. Beautiful letter, after all, he wasn't allowed to open. Even if it's Shalobif Neirabo, it doesn't matter. The Rambam wasn't anywhere near Baghdad. Nonetheless, he wrote him a letter asking him Rishus to open yeshiva, to which the Rambam replied, very contemporarily, the Rambam replied, of course you have my permission to open a yeshiva, but you'd have to be mad to do so, because you're going to spend your time either politicking or raising money, and you're going to end up never learning another word in your life. Now, you listen to me, if you're asking me Rishus already, it means you think that I'm your Rebbe. If you hold on, you're Rebbe, you listen to me, go to medical school. This is what he says. Go to medical school, you'll get yourself a decent parnas, you'll have much more time to learn, that's for sure. Won't get involved in machlokas and all kinds of nonsense, and then you'll have a decent life. Why would you open a yeshiva?
This is like every Jewish mother. What kind of a business is that? It's to be a rabbi.
Exactly.
To be a doctor.
This is printed in English.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Mamish, like, you know, out of today's newspaper. So, anyway, so again, how in the world did Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba do something that was against his own Rav's psak, which is to daven behind him? Answers the Gemara Shani, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, the Talmid Chaver Havi. It's actually Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba was not really a Talmud who was dependent on his Rav's learning. He became basically a Talmid Chaver, in which he had the right to argue on him and so on and so forth. And we see that clearly because Heiner de Carmeli, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, the Rav, in that very story, what happened was after Rav finished davening, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asked him, Mi badalet, were you mavdil? In other words, did you mekabel Shabbat before you did this? And you're no longer doing malacha? Yes, I actually was mekabel Shabbos and I'm not doing malacha anymore. Notice that the language is second person. V'lo amar mi badil mar. He didn't ask him, did Rebbe stop doing malacha? Now, you never would have spoken to him in second person, unless he was basically on the darga being a friend and not a Talmud. Right. Now, of course,
there's a piece about it.
Excuse me. The Omer Davar Shelo Shama Mipi Rabo. Continuing the cases, I'm really sorry. I didn't even say what he did. He said if you do it. So if he's noticing Shalom Mazah Shalom Cholaka Yeshivato, or Omer Davar Shelo Shama Mipi Rabo, which again means that he says something where people assume that whatever he says comes from his Rav, and he doesn't say it in the name of somebody else, then that means he's attributing to his Rav something that he never said, where others learn that it's talking about dafka things that are not being said mipi asvara. Mipi asvara, you can always say whatever you want. You have to say only your Rav svara. You can even argue on your Rav svara. Find many times people argue mitzad hasvara, but here we're talking about shmuot, which people are assuming this is something I was makabo from my Rav, that you'd have to say somebody else's name if it didn't come from your Rav. So any of these people are going to Shechina, Shetistalek mi Yisrael. And therefore, we answer that Rabbi Yirmiyahu was a Talmud Chaver from the language of Bedilma. Now you see that when he was asking, now that we understand that there's significant implications v'halacha of whether he had been mafsik malacha, we can understand how important this question is. Because if he was not makabel Shabbat, then you have a clear raya to Rabbi Yehuda's halacha about tefillat arvit all the time. If he was Mekabel Shabbat, it may be that this is a special case. So he wanted to know whether he was Mekabel Shabbat. Now there's another problem in this sugya, which we sort of waffled over, and that is the Kabbalah of Shabbat before Shabbat. It comes from what din? What right do you have to be Mekabel Shabbat before Shabbat? L'chora, because of Tosefet Shabbat. Problem is, the Rambam paskins, there's no din of Tosefet Shabbat. There's only a din of Tosefet Yom HaKippurim. So the question is, how would he have been badalot? And here is an interesting halacha, in which case the question was a different question, according to the Rambam. And mi badalot would mean, can you be mekabel Shabbat itself because of Kiddush? He was over here saying Kiddush in his tefillah, la'echulu. So there, even though you can't be stam mekabel Shabbat, but maybe you could be mekadesh the etzem Shabbat early, just to be mekabel on yourself more, not as tosefet. You say, as far as I'm concerned, it's Shabbat. There could be nafkaminas over here in terms of the seuda. In other words, if it's a din in tosefet Shabbat, can you eat the seuda Shabbat and tosefet Shabbat? You have to eat your seuda on Shabbat. There were places, by the way, where there were no egg to eat Ma'oda Yom Gadol. And it's a very strange idiot from a lot of Sephardic communities.
Why?
That they would be Makabel Shabbos, would then have a seuda, and they would then be taking a walk along the banks of various rivers, and it was still daylight. After they had concluded the seuda and everything.
Why?
Sorry.
Fine.
Can't tell you.
Save the energy of the
man,
of the
oil, lights. Because the Pashto said before Plaga Mincha, for sure you can't. So how do they have time to do all of this? If the whole issue is Rabbi Yehuda's, then it would only be Plaga Mincha. To be Makabel before Plaga Mincha wouldn't even be Chal. That's the way actually we paskin today. Somebody wants to be Makabel Shabbos early. Can't be Makabel Shabbos earlier than the Plaga Mincha. So he's going to be taking a taxi to the kosher, let's say, or he wants to walk to the kosher, wants to be a kabbal Shabbos. His wife won't have a chance to light her neiros. He doesn't like, lighting neiros without a kabbalah Shabbos. Is it possible to do that before Plaga Mincha? Or it doesn't have a din of kabbalah Shabbat. L'maisa, you're going to need to actually wait until Plaga Mincha to be able to get away with any of this.
Because you can't light candles.
Yeah, you can't be Makabel Shabbos earlier, and the candles lit before the Zman is not considered to be Kabbalat Shabbat. Anyway, so this is all of this is dependent on how we learn these sugyas, and you can see that there's quite a bit of exciting material over here. If you ever want to stop doing Daf Yomi and instead do Daf Chok Zion for the 7 years of the of the cycle. I mean, there are people who do that.
In Europe, it's called Plaga Mincha would be about. In Europe, Plaga Mincha would be about 10 o'clock at night. Or
no, that's true. Yeah, could be.
Yeah, there are children growing up in different places who have never seen Abdullah.
That's right.
Until they get my home.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he said, "In Bedilna, I did in fact. I was Makabel Shabbos." Now, ask the Gemara, mi badil, was he indeed Makabel Shabbos? V'yomer v'avim pa'amachatik palil Rebbe shal Shabbat b'erev Shabbat. Once Rebbe had davened early, v'nichnas l'merchatz v'yatza, v'shana lan pirkin, v'adayim lo chashcha. And after he was Makabel Shabbos, he went into the Beit HaMerchatz. Certainly he wouldn't have gone to take a shower on Shabbos. He then came out, and he taught us the shir, Erev Shabbos, and it was still light. Omar Rava doesn't say what he went to do in the Beit HaMerchatz. He didn't go in to take a shower. He went in to take a good shvitz. And the shvitz, well, this was still before they made the gzeirah on the shvitz. They ended up in the end being gezer against shvitz too, because people were saying, I'm just going into Schwitz. A little bit extra on the side. But because of that, we ended up on Schwitz. That's right, exactly. I'm going down to the pool to warm up. The Kodim Gezerah Avi was before they had the Gezerah of the Schwitz. Eniva, Baya Sharlel Ravdimi Barlivoy, the Chavruye Sali. Wait a minute, we know Lemaisa. This happened to Ravdimi, who was also Mekabel Shabbos. He came and asked Abaya, and Abaya said, you could still turn on the lights. Because what happened is he was a basket weaver. They used to let the basket sit in sulfur that they would burn to dry it out, put a finish on the basket. And he allowed him to turn on the lights to get the sulfur hot, still because it was still Erev Shabbos. Which obviously Rav Dimi Bar Livoy was not Mekabel Shabbos. You see, you could daven shel Erev Shabbos while it's still chol. No, Ahutalusa have it. That was a mistake. The day had gotten very dark because it was overcast. They thought that it was time for Kabbalah Shabbos. Then, all of a sudden, the clouds parted. They see it still has plenty of time till Shabbos. So there, the Tzaut is Hadar. In other words, it was a mistake, and he never was Mekabel Shabbos. What do you mean? The Tzaut of Mihadar? I thought, once you're Mekabel, or once you define it a certain way, it's too late. Because doesn't Avidan say, Pa'am achad nitkashru shamayim be'avim? There was once a Maisa, where everybody thought it was dark. Kitzur na'am lomar chashechu. Nechpasula beit ha-knesset yitpalalu. Shal matzoi shabbat b'shabbat. They went into shul, everybody got admired. They come out, and it's bright daylight. Minitpazur ha-avim v'zarcha ha-chamah. Ubo v'shalot Rebbe, what do we do? Do we have to daven Ma'ariv again? And he said, well, if you already davened, you know, it's okay. Hov it palalu it palalu. So apparently, the fact that you had an intent that was based on a mistaken time doesn't change anything. No, that's because it's a tzibur. Shani tzibur, the lo matruchinano. We're not matriach at tzibur to do the davening again. But over there, the case of Rav Dimi Bar Livoy was a yachid. Certainly, Abaya would have allowed him to be semich on his ta'ut, to go turn on the lights, and then just the davening. Omer Pia Bar Ovin. Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbat Be'erev Shabbat. Rabbi Yoshia Matzi Shal Matzei Shabbat B'Shabbat. Not only we said that Rav davened his Ma'ariv for Shabbat on Friday, but also Rabbi Yoshia davened Ma'ariv for Matzei Shabbat while it was still light on Shabbat. Now, when you say that Rav davened Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, did he also say Kiddush? Erev Shabbos, or did he wait until the night in order to say Kiddush? So, Omer Kiddusha ala Kos, or I know Omer Kiddusha ala Kos. Tashma, Yomer Nachor Omer Shmo, Mitpalel Adam Shal Shabbat, Erev Shabbat, Ve'omer Kiddusha ala Kos.
We're not asking what
they You daven, you say your Kiddush on Erev Shabbat, and that's how we paskin. Sorry?
Are we asking if he needs to make Kiddush on Kos?
No, he can. You can make Kiddush later. Now, how about the other case where Rabbi Yoshi was Matzah Shal Matzoi Shabbat B'Shabbat? Does he say Avdolah on Shabbos? How about over there? Could he say Avdolah early too? Omer Avdolah ala Kos? Eino Omer Avdolah ala Kos? Tashma, the Omer Rabbi Yehuda on Shmuel, Mitpalel Adam Shal Matzoi Shabbat B'Shabbat, V'Omer Avdolah ala Kos? You could even make Avdolah, and Atosu says this is Dafka, where there's a tzorech mitzvah. So somebody had to go leave in order to be able to catch a flight to do a brit milah, or the case, we'll see the case later on, where he had to go travel to Rome in order to save Gezerah against Claudius or whatever. So then they were mat to this, or where, and why couldn't he do it later? He wouldn't have had access to wine and so on later. So here he was at home, he was able to make Abdullah.
And he couldn't have it, right?
Obviously, right. Couldn't walk. Right. Sure. Shaila is only whether you're Yotze the Chiyuv of Kiddush Rav Dov.
So the issue is
whether
he does that later.
Oh, for sure.
Or he could have done
that in there. Tough situation.
Theoretically, he could have done, to talk about even maybe if he cooked in Bashas, he could have done Malacha when it was light and he wanted to do Abdullah.
He wouldn't need to make Abdullah, right?
Why would there be a value in doing Abdullah for Pikul HaNefesh?
saying he could have had, let's say he could do it.
We're talking about the pikuach nefesh, so he doesn't have to make avdola. Point of view, he was able to wait, but he needed to catch the flight. If he would do avdola early, he would still be able to catch the flight. For whatever, you know, either that was the maisa, or it wasn't pikuach nefesh mamish, but it was a mitzvah. So it was a monetary gzera. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi, Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Asi, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Chanina, Omer Rav, I want to tell you an edus. Betzad, I mean, and you can be sure that if I'm going to give you the details, then it's got to be right. Here's the details. It was right next to this column that Rabbi Yishmael Bar Rabbi Yossi davened Tefillah of Shabbat on Erev Shabbat. There you go. When Ula came, said, well, it's pretty accurate, except it wasn't a column. It was a palm tree. And it wasn't Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi, actually. It was Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. And it wasn't Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. It was Mitzray Shabbos on Shabbos. But basically, you got it pretty straight.
This is the house of Yehuda.
Well, not really.
The street, probably, isn't it? I think it was Minsk and Pinsk, but it wasn't Minsk. It was Erev
Shabbos. Yeah, that one.
Who's on first?
So anyway, and this already was a Maisha Shahaya, they bring that it's tomorrow, was where he was going out to avert the Gezerah. Tfilata Erev in Lakva. So when we say in Lakva, what do we mean? My in Lakva. Diboy Matzli Akule Lailia. If it means what? If he wants to, he could daven all night long, which is the way we assumed it meant. So then just say, Tfilata Erev Kala Laila. I mean, what does that have to do with Kva? Just has to do with the fact you're telling me when the Zman is. The Zman is Kol HaLayla. So say Kol HaLayla. Like you said, the Tefillah Samincha could be until the end of the day. Okay, so say the whole day, the whole night. Elamai in Lakva. When you're saying it has no Kviyut, it's going according to the Man D'Omer, who says, Tefillat Arvit Rishut. And this we know that there's a Machlokas. D'Omer of Yonah Mishmu. Tefillat Arvit. Rav Gamliel Omer Chova. Rav Yeshua Omer. Rishut. Now Tosis learns when it says Rishut, it does not mean that it's up to you to decide whether to daven Meyer or not, even though this is how we pass when it's Vilat Arvit Rishut. Rishut just means that if you have a mitzvah that needs to be done during this time, you're not considered to be being Isaac for mitzvah, and therefore we better to do a mitzvah. So vis-a-vis a mitzvah is considered to be Rishut, but if there's no reason to be Mavato Meyer, you should say Meyer anyway. There are many Rishonim who argue on Tosfos that says Rishut means you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. The Maaseh, the Rambam brings that we paskin Tefillat Arvit Rishut, but as he points out, Kvar Nogu Kol Yisrael, everybody has accepted this thing as a minhag, that they view it as if it's a chiyuv, and therefore doesn't help you too much, except in certain special circumstances, the different status of Ma'ariv. One of those issues are, according to the Rambam, the Ein Lakva means that the Zman of Ma'ariv is not tied to Arvit particularly. Now you would think Arvit means Arvit. I mean, Tefillat Shacharit, we know it's Bezman HaShachar. Tefillat Arvit, what defines Erev? It's a rather strange language to call it, because Erev, is it Erev? Is it Laila? I mean, what exactly are, is it as the sun is setting Arvit? Funny language for a Tefillat. So therefore, says the Rambam, that's the whole point. In La Keva, so if they're being koveya specifically a tefillah, then part of the takana is to give it a time. Since there were never koveya arvit, what it means is that the tefillah that a person does during the time when there's no other tefillah that's kavua is called tefillat arvit. You know, a little bit before, a little bit after, whatever comes to you to be your evening, so to speak. Before you go to sleep, we call it arvit. And therefore, it has no kviyut in Zman, which there gives a beautiful explanation to the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah indeed is talking about time, so what a funny way to say, and the time of Ma'ariv, well, in Lakava, just say that this time of Ma'ariv is all night long. And well, that's the whole point. By saying in Lakava, you're saying there is no time for Ma'ariv, so that it fills the blanks, so to speak, which explains why, just because Rabbi Yehuda says that Tfilas Mincha ends at Plaga Mincha, that then you can daven Ma'ariv. What does one have to do with the other? And that's the time for mincha. Now it's not a time for any tefillah. And now Meir could still start after Tzeit HaKochavim. So you see that, in fact, they are interdependent, but only because Ein Lakva.
It also answers the question of doing the makeup of mincha during Meir too, besides it just being in your day. It's sort of a different status of the time itself.
I know, it makes it more difficult. It doesn't help us there.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. So what's the din? Amar Abai HaLokhi Devei Amar Chova. Rav Amar HaLokhi Devei Amar Rishut. Tana Rabba. You want to know the story? Because the story is an incredible story. Maybe you want to wait till tomorrow to hear the story. Because it's so late. And since the story does continue on half of the next stop. And, you know, we don't really like to be Isaac in politics on this. This was the big political upheaval at the time of the Gemara. So, maybe we'll wait for
that. No politics on Purim?
Well, possible? No modern type politics. Let's go.